7 o'clock, I'd like to call this meeting of the Summit Hill School District School Board to order. If you'd all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and a roll call, please, Mr. Faber.
Mr. Ward.
Here.
Mrs. Martin.
Here.
Mrs. Kohlbacher.
Here.
Mr. Leonard.
Here.
Mr. Faber here. Mrs. Borgens.
Here.
Mr. Marin.
Here. Everyone is present and accounted for. And for this evening, we will be starting under new business, which is C1. And this is on page 44 of your board books. So at this time, 7 o'clock, we are going to open the hearing for the 2016-2017, which is our fiscal year 17 budget. If anyone would like to speak to the budget, which has been on display as required here in the district office, now would be the time to do that. Anyone? Okay, as we have no comments or presentations, at this time, can I have a motion that the board close the budget hearing for the District 161 fiscal year 2016-2017 budget?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber.
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Kohlbacher.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber, aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. Hearing is closed. So now we'll return back to the agenda, and we will start with 3A, which is recognition. Mrs. Rains.
At this time, we'd like to honor board member Patricia Martin. IASB recently informed us that she has completed the requirements to become a member of the School Board Leadership Academy. The Academy promotes continuous learning and professional development, and to be recognized, a member would have completed the basics of governance and 4 additional leadership workshops. Mrs. Martin will receive special recognition at the IASB Fall Division Dinner in October for her accomplishment. Congratulations, Mrs. Martin.
Thank you. Thank you.
We also will be recognizing our 46 Wall of Gratitude honorees for the months of August and September. These individuals have gone above and beyond to support our students, staff, and community. Please stand when your name is read, and after all names are read, please come forward to receive congratulations from members of the Board of Education. We begin with John Snipes, Arbury Hills, Sean Mooney, Hugh Sumner, and Leslie DeBoer, District. Francie Boss and Mike Ruffalo, Dr. Julian Rogas School. Jason Isdonis, Frankfurt Square. From Indian Trail, Denise Aslin, Danielle Capps, Melissa Farrell, Joanne Hand, Kristen Heenan, Christina Horan, Ed Johnstone, Lauren Jurisitz, Kathy Perkel, Betsy Pleasy, Jen Skrabansky, all staff, Pam Wanderson, and Dana Wright. From Summit Hill Junior High, Annette Barron, Katie Berry, Amanda Baskey, Rita Bottomley, Colin Bradley, Ken Cronin, Mike Deutscher, Kim Grice, Katherine Hopkins, Anna King, Nancy Kershipper, Kim Curran, Molly Marshall, Mike McDonald, Laura Maher, Jack Metcher, Cheryl Michaels, Amber Ostrowski, Amanda Park, Laura Pavlik, Dan Pearson, Fred Pufall, Scott Smalter, Agnes, thank you for coming, Agnes, Soch, Lisa Skalski, Ray Strakalski, Patrick Sullivan, Christina Turek, Beth Zinski, and then from Walker, Maura Carroll and Laura Goebel. Would you please stand and be recognized? Principals, and Agnes, come on up.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
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 Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, all my best.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Okay, moving on to B, Freedom of Information Request. I believe we had one.
We did have one. It was from Katie Smizer, investigative producer, NBC5 Chicago. She was inquiring if we had a stock of undesignated EpiPens, which we do not.
Very good. Public comments?
No.
No public comments. Letters and communications are in the back of your board book. At this time, we shall move to the consent agenda under four. At this time, can I have a motion that the board approve the consent agenda for this meeting as presented, including 4A1A regular session meeting minutes of September 14th, 2016, 4A1B closed session meeting minutes of September 14th, 2016, 4A1C closed session special meeting minutes of September 20th, 2016, 4A2 approval of the bills list of September 28th, 2016, 4A3 approval of resignation of staff, including Rita Castan, clerk, effective October 3rd, 2016. 4A5, approval of employment and staff, including Terry Jones, lunchroom supervisor at Arbery Hills School, Judith Reamer, lunchroom supervisor at Dr. Julian Rogas School, Diane Bollinger, district-wide substitute nurse.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, if we could have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mrs. Martin.
I abstain.
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Kobacher.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. Moving on to old business. We have two items. The first is the approval of the HVAC control systems, which I believe we discussed at our last board meeting. I don't know if there's any update that you'd like to provide.
There is. Doug, would you provide answers to the couple of questions from the last meeting?
So at the last meeting when we first presented this, there was a question about why the junior high and the admin center and Mary Drew, why the costs were so much more. And the answer to that question is they have larger databases and software objects or data points that they have to capture. Because they're the newer buildings, and so the equipment is more up to date and so forth. And that takes software programming, and so that is why those two buildings are more. Johnson Controls was able to give us updated pricing as well, shaved about 10% off of the total cost of the project, and the technology department was able to. We got the server specs. I think there was a question about the server the last time. We got the specs. We had CDW quote us a comparable server that will meet the needs, and that came in at, I believe it was about $4,100. So we can actually deduct $4,400 from the total Johnson price as per their quote. So small savings, not huge, but still savings nonetheless.
Okay. Any follow-on questions?
Will Johnson still service the other? I mean, there won't be any problems with them,
no.
You know, since it's not technically
right.
Since it's they didn't provide it.
Right. I think the specifications for them called for a Dell server. We happen to use HP servers, and so the tech department would actually prefer to keep it all the same and not have right. The one kind of outlier. So, yes, it would still be.
I just wanted to make sure that they didn't want to be like, oh, well, since you're providing that, we're not going to touch your machine in the event of an issue. Okay.
Right.
Anything else?
So then do we need to amend the motion? So it's not to exceed, would it be 40 or 83,000?
We didn't pass this last time.
No,
for tonight.
No, we didn't pass, but I mean for tonight, because that amount tonight has the server cost in there, and if we can deduct $4,400 off the cost of the server, should we, I guess it wouldn't be amend.
Oh, right, right, right.
I'm sorry, what, should we change the motion so it's $83,000?
So in this $87,390, that includes the $4,400 for the server?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it'll drop to, right, we can say not to exceed $83,000.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you may want to do something like that because it's possible, though probably not likely, that you know, there may be a change order or something once they get into it and so forth. So you might want to pad that a little bit.
Let's say 83.5.
84. So not to exceed number. I mean, we've got a good quote.
Okay.
It's just.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Anything else? All right. At this time, can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the proposal from Johnson Controls to update the district HVAC system controls at a cost not to exceed $84,000?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any additional questions, comments? Hearing none, can we have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber?
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mrs. Martin.
Aye.
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Kobacher.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. The second item we had was setting the date for the special board planning meeting for 2017-2018. And we had Saturday, January 21st and Saturday, January 28th. Did anyone have a preference? My social calendar doesn't run out that far, you know, so.
They haven't chosen any date for the swim meet, so I'll make whatever work.
Okay.
21st?
Sure. Sooner the better?
Yep. Yeah.
21st will work then.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So now we are going to go into new business. And item number C1 we've already taken care of, which was the hearing. Before proceeding on to 2 and 3, the board is going to step out into closed session. We will do 2 closed sessions tonight. The first one will be now, and we will have continuing action after that closed session. The second one will be at the end of the meeting, and we'll have no continuing action after that. And we'll be leaving the room, so there's no need for anyone to go anywhere. So page 58 here. Can I have a motion that the board go into closed session according to 5 ILCS 120/2(1) to consider the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees for the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the district or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, and according to 5 ILCS 120/2(c)(2) for the purpose of collective negotiation matters between the district and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber.
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Kobacher.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. The motion carries, and again, we will have action after this closed session. We will return to the room shortly. Thank you. It is 7:45, and we've returned to open session. At this time, we will move forward with C2 on the agenda. So can I have a motion that the Board of Education approve the service agreement as presented for Jennifer Edmonds?
So moved.
Second. Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, can I have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber?
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Kobacher.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. And I just realized that's probably a bit cryptic, the approval of the services agreement. Mrs. Edmonds is going to be assisting us with the interim director of curriculum position. We had a retirement, and she will be filling in for us on a part-time basis. And so welcome aboard, and thank you very much.
Okay,
Moving on to the resolution to approve the FY16-17 budget. We had a hearing about this at the beginning of the meeting, and we had no comments. So, whereas the Board of Education of Summit Hill, District 161, County of Will, State of Illinois, caused to be prepared in tentative form a budget, and the Secretary of this board has made the same conveniently available to public inspection, and whereas a public hearing was held as such to the budget on the 28th day of September 2016, notice of said hearing was given as required by law, and all other legal requirements have been complied with, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education of said district is as follows. Section 1, that the fiscal year of this school district be the same and is hereby fixed and declared to be July 1st, 2016 and ending June 30th, 2017. Section 2, that the following budget contained an estimate of amounts available in each fund separately and expenditures from each are the same, is hereby adopted as budget of the school district for the said fiscal year.
So moved.
Second.
That is an extremely awkward paragraph. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, can I have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber?
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Martin.
Aye.
Mrs. Kobacher.
Aye.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. President's comments, I would just like to thank Mr. Wiley, who took care of the budget and making sure that was updated, and all of the district office staff for making that available to everyone, and for those of you who came out tonight on such a horrendous weather night to join us here. The only other thing that I wanted to comment on is we do have the fun run coming up. And they're doing, Chef is doing registration for that. So if you haven't registered, please do so. I'm sure Mr. Faber and I will be having our annual runoff to see who can finish first from the board perspective.
Right.
Thank you. Okay.
4 minute miles.
What'd you say?
4 minute miles this year.
We better be driving then.
On a bike.
All right, moving into the superintendent and staff reports. We'll start with the enrollment report, Mrs. Raines.
Yes, we currently serve 3,028 students in District 161 classrooms, plus 47 EC pre-K students, for a total of 3,075 students. And happy to report we are within board guidelines at all grade levels at all schools throughout the district. Moving to the second item on the superintendent and staff report is assessment and grading team meeting update. On the 21st, teacher reps from grades 1 to 5 met in the morning, and reps from 6 to 8 met in the afternoon, and the topic was retakes. The team members brought back to the group perspectives from their colleagues on how retakes have been handled in previous years. Well, interestingly, the discussion on retakes morphed into a discussion of corrections. Many comments were shared about correcting areas that were not mastered versus retaking an entire summative. We'll continue the discussion at the next meeting on October 24th and 25th. And during that meeting, we'll begin to highlight commonalities of past practices as our starting point. Important to share is that we are continuing during this school year with our current practice of doing what's best in the best interest of students. So however a teacher handled retakes or corrections last year, they have that ability to do so this year. We'll be working then for the next several months on guidelines and practices for the 17-18 school year based on a request from teachers to balance defining the parameters with the allowing them professional discretion for consistency purposes per or by grade levels. And this information is going to also be shared with parents at the superintendent advisory meeting for board goal 1 when we next meet on October 11th. So we'll be going back and forth with the information between groups to keep building the input that's being generated. The next item is valedictorian and salutatorian. Beginning next school year, we will be aligning our practice to no longer be recognizing the valedictorian and salutatorian at the eighth grade graduation. Instead, we will be recognizing all students with high honors. And this is consistent with the practices at 210, at 157C, Mokena, and Manhattan. And next year, New Lenox will also be aligning their practices so that we do not single out one or two individuals. You know, in the past, we've recognized students at the eighth grade awards ceremony, acknowledged the students at graduation, and the academic achievements were listed in the graduation program. To be honest with you, this alignment, it's coinciding with the trend to seek out other ways to signal that students are top performers without resorting to some arbitrary ranking system, where sometimes the kids are separated by 0.001% of a GPA, and you know the trend is moving away from that. So what we plan to do this school year is to develop our recognition plan, taking into account the impact of this change on our current practices so that next year it'll flow smoothly, it'll be communicated right out of the gate, and then we could move forward with that practice.
So for this year, will we be acknowledging at graduation all the students with high honors, and we'll still do a valedictorian and salutatorian?
I believe that's where we're heading for this year, because we want to transition. We don't want it abrupt. So we want to transition, looking at there's a lot of things affected by grade point average in different programming. So that's something we have to also be cognizant of this school year as well.
What do you mean?
Oh, for instance, different programming like some of the National Junior Honor Society,
okay.
You have to have a particular grade point average and things like that.
Because the problem is, to select a valedictorian, we didn't even use grade point average. We had to go back to the percentages they received in the class. So it wasn't just that you got 4 points mm-hmm. for an A like they would right. do at Lincoln Way, or a bump for honors. We had to go back and say, in this class, this person got a 97, this person got a 98, because we had so many children with straight A's through 7th and 8th grade. So I always thought that was, mm-hmm. you know, taking it a bit too far anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, thanks for getting 98s for 2 years, but some kid got a 99 in one
yep.
class. That just doesn't seem right. So mm-hmm. anybody else have other thoughts on that?
Doesn't affect my kid.
Is this your way of getting rid of graduation? Graduation? I was just joking. I'm sorry.
We know it's
another
step in life. I know. I remember your daughter's diploma said at least 8 years to go. Or
right.
Yep.
8 more to go.
Yep.
Next on the report is the October 7th, 2016 PM in-service. The administrators and I collaboratively developed the in-service. Special thanks to Jason, John, Leslie, Dan, and Colin. We have a variety of professional development opportunities planned, as well as time for instructional planning. And that agenda follows on page 55 in your board packet. Mr. Snipes is handling STEM Scopes training, which is new to him. ELL, Mrs. Wright, Mr. Bradley, gizmos, and then a bevy of other odds and ends so that all teachers have an opportunity to professionally develop that afternoon. And I believe the last item is the early childhood update, and I will turn that over to Leslie.
Evening. I just wanted to give you a little update on our early childhood world. It is always changing. If those of you who are not aware of our early childhood program, it does fluctuate throughout the year. So it is a very hard, you know, to predict when we have these students coming in. We don't always know who are our 0 to 3 year olds out there, and then, you know, our 3 to 5 year olds. So I just wanted to give you a little background. We've been off to a great but busy start. We do currently have 6 sections of early childhood. And I gave you a little background information on all of those programs. Our early childhood blended program consists of students with IEPs and our tuition-based students. Our early childhood self-contained program just consists of students just with IEPs. And then we also have our individualized instruction program, which again is all students with IEPs but have a greater need, you know, for more of the applied behavior analysis, one-on-one with their service providers or paraprofessionals in the classroom. We are currently seeing an increase of students. I know our enrollment as a whole has, you know, decreased, but our, again, our early childhood classrooms are always changing throughout the school year. This year we've seen an influx just from transfer students, parent referrals, and then for our preschool screenings that we do offer five times a year. The number fluctuates, you know, depending on students that we receive from the Child and Family Connections service, you know, through the state. So right now our current early intervention list consists of 17 students yet to be evaluated. They do turn three at some point during this school year. So we are aware of that number, but again, we can never predict how many kids just come in, you know, to district office or parent phone calls or through our screening. So currently, you know, we will be increasing our early childhood blended class. We typically like to keep those classrooms at 17. If we need to, we are going to increase those to 20, you know, and we are within the state of regulations for 20, and we will monitor the paraprofessional support throughout the school year for those classrooms. And then, you know, if additional students even within the II classrooms become identified through the evaluation process, it is possible that, you know, additional sections of that would be needed throughout the year. So just wanted to make you aware. Right now we are within, you know, our maximum or our guidelines for the classrooms, but, you know, we could increase in other sections might need to be, you know, added throughout the school year. It was reassuring, you know, Kim Zilka and I had the opportunity to go to the Child and Family Connection meeting in Joliet. They do a roundtable meeting, so it was nice to put some names to faces that we talk to, you know, on a regular basis through the Child Family Connections. And as we were going around, it was reassuring to see that other districts are, you know, in the same situations. It might need to add sections throughout the school year. One of the districts said that they have 30 early childhood classrooms over in Valley View. So we're not quite there yet, but, you know, we do see an increase. And this just gives you a little background. Some of our 0 to 3-year-olds, they have waiting lists just for OT services. There's 100 kids on the waiting list at the 0 to 3 level. For physical therapy, 61 students, and speech therapy, 95 students. That's still have not been able to get services yet because this number has been increased and there's not enough service providers to meet some of those needs. So then we're getting them at 3-year-olds and, you know, seeing that they need these services. So, but it's a, you know, just being responsible for this, you know, part of just one little part of our special ed world, it really does fluctuate throughout the school year and it's unpredictable.
With the blended classes, the state sets the maximum at 20?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do we have space issues or we have rooms at Rogus to open additional?
We do have rooms. You know, Barb and I have been working closely with Mr. Ruffalo and then the early childhood teachers and discussions on where we could put the other classrooms. We do have space for them.
Mm-hmm. And roughly speaking, what's the percentage in the blended classes, IEPs versus tuition-based?
It should be 70-30, but you could get deviations to go a little bit higher than that. Federal regulation is 50%. State wants you to stay at 30.
30% IEPs, mm-hmm. 70% tuition-based.
Right.
Now, I know there was rumors that they were looking at potentially opening up more grant money for early child. Is that something that may be on the horizon, or is that just the rumor mill and wishful thinking? And
it might be the rumor mill and wishful thinking. I know in the past we did have the Preschool for All, but we don't anymore.
I just heard randomly that, you know, that they were considering opening potential grants for the 2017-18 school year.
That I haven't heard yet.
Mm-hmm. But again, who knows right. where they're going to magically find the money, but right. yeah. I just wondered if you'd heard anything.
What's our kindergarten class size? 22?
Almost 23.
So right now it's 15 and 16.
Yes, so right now we're at 15 and 16.
Mm-hmm. And adding 17 more? Or
no, just okay. They can only go up to 20. So there's 4 spots and then 5 in the other.
People waiting.
No, you could. We used to have only 17 students in those blended classrooms. Then we might have to increase it to 20. We just historically like to have kept them at 17, but.
But I think the question is, do we have a waiting list?
Oh.
Adding.
Well, we don't know yet. That's. It could go up. We're hoping not to go over the 20. I mean, obviously, we can't go over 20, and then we would have to look at another section. Right now, we have 17 on the actual early intervention list that we get from the state.
Right.
But then that doesn't include any of the kids that just walk in for screenings, parent referral, or transfers from other districts. So that number we don't know.
That's what I was asking. So are we getting 17 kids by the end of the year?
Yes, they will either get into, you know, either go into the EC classroom, the EC blended. Some of those students might just qualify for walk-in speech, and then some for the II classroom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they don't all go into the blended
classroom.
They
don't classroom. All go into, right, the blended room.
But if we have more than six go into the blended room, then
right,
we're...
Right, we would have to be looking at another section. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 20 preschool kids seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Two is too much.
Okay.
Thank you, Leslie.
Any other questions? Good. Okay.
The report.
Okay. Again, we will go back into closed session at the end of the meeting, but with no action items afterwards. So moving on to agenda item 7A, Mrs. Kohlbacher, the 843 report.
Okay. The administrator's report for access and transportation. Access students have been joining the Reg Ed students for specials and lunch with their peers, so that's always a positive step. They've been doing some early childhood cancer awareness activities. I know they, as a school, they were doing different activities and wearing different colors to support that. They've been attending field trips. They've gone to the zoo, firehouse. They have an invitation to visit Navy Pier, and that was free. They were given those tickets, so they were very excited about that. For transportation, it was reported that we currently have 73 drivers with 37 monitors, busing 525 students on 138 routes. So they are pretty busy.
Okay.
McKay currently has 34 students. They, too, have been going on incentive-based field trips. They had some students volunteer to do some work with Knights of Columbus, and they had a very successful community open house.
I have a question.
Sure.
The 500 students that they're busing through their transportation, there aren't 500 kids in 843, right? So
are our special ed students who are being bussed by 843.
So they're being bussed by District 843, but they may be being bussed to our schools?
Yes.
Yes.
Within our district, the students that don't go to the 843 programs, we offer transportation.
Are still bussed by 843, and the same would hold for the other districts,
right.
Which is,
right.
Got it. Go
right.
Ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, Pioneer Grove just finished up their Spirit Week. They also had a childhood cancer awareness, some opportunities for that. They have a fundraiser coming up this Saturday called Pizza Playoff. If anybody is interested in attending, it's at the Founders Center from 4:30 to 6:30. The SELF program has two students already adding Reg Ed hours with their peers, so they feel that's a success this early in the year. They've been busy, too, with planting mums at the transition house, also had some incentive field trips scheduled and so forth, and they have 8 new students this year. For the finance report, business managers attended a meeting on September 1st. They are finishing up their audit. They were audited, 3 days last week, and they should be finishing up this week. ESY billing was billed about 2 weeks ago, so they're getting that tied together so they can start on this year. And for the reconciliation, they felt that they should be finished by the end of next week with those figures. Director's report, she reported that the enrollment is holding pretty steady. The technology report, they stated that Mr. Ferguson had a very busy summer. He was with the migration from, don't ask me a question about this, from Outlook to Office 365. And they're finishing up setting up their ASAP absence reporting, and they're excited to have that in place as well. The discussion continues with the SELF program, where that's going to be housed next year. New Lenox sounds like they've got a plan in place that they are starting to investigate to see who's interested, but that's all to be determined. There were six FMLAs, zero FOIA requests, no old business, no new business, and in action items, we approved the director's goals. And our next meeting is October 25th.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Any questions? All right. Board member comments? Anyone? No one? Okay. Public comments? No public comments. Future meeting dates, October 12th, October 26th, and November 9th, 2016, all here at the Mary Drew Administrative Center, all starting at 7 p.m. As stated before, we will now go into closed session with no action items afterwards. So can I have a motion that the board go into closed session for a second or return to closed session according to 5 ILCS 120/21 to consider the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on the complaint lodged against an employee of the district or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity, and according to 5 ILCS 120/2C2 for the purpose of collective negotiation matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any questions? A roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber.
Mr. Leonard.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Kohlbacher.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye. And the motion carries. We are in closed session. Thank you, everyone. Okay, it is 8:43, and we are back in open session. We have no action items as discussed. At this time, can I have a motion that we adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And we are adjourned. Thank you very much.